Good morning and welcome to Talk to the Experts. Nice to have back good friend Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental in the studio. And boy, you've been busy.
It never stops.
Busy in the way that your practice, of course, is blooming like crazy, which is good to hear.
Yeah.
But you've just celebrated your first year anniversary of being out there in Brock.
Yeah, it's crazy. One whole year's gone by, went by quick. Lots happened.
Do you get a lot of people dropping by to say hello?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, we, you know, people that are even just in the seniors complex around us, our friends at the bank next door, lots of family, of course, and friends. We had a nice reception for that day, nice turnout. We also had the radio spot there as well, so that was fun. That was new for me. It's like you guys are coming to me for a change. I like this.
You like that, huh? Oh, you don't mind a little drive downtown, do you?
Nah, it's all good.
On a Sunday morning, what's better?
A cup of coffee.
Yeah, there you go. Cindy, congratulations, first of all, on your
first year
with your practice out there. And I know you've made a whole lot of new friends. And, you know, a lot of folks think, for those who have seen your clinic, you're underneath a seniors complex, more or less. You're in a seniors population of Kamloops.
Oh, gosh.
But you're a family practice, and you certainly look after the kids, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Kids are one of my main focuses. It's hard to find a dentist that kids are comfortable with. At least that's been the experience that I've gotten from other people. And I do really well with children.
You got all the Star Wars toys, didn't you?
Yes, and we have the giant teddy bear now. That was one thing we did it was just after our 1 year anniversary, because I've had lots of contests going on Facebook and stuff, so I'm losing track, but we had a bear naming contest.
Oh, really?
We got a giant bear. This thing is like 8 feet tall. It is ginormous. And Angus, the minute he saw it, he had to have that thing. This has to be in the clinic. We need this for the kids section. They're going to love it. So we packed that sucker in out of Costco and drove it down back to work. You could get the thing in the car. It was just hilarious.
Did you get a name for it?
We did. He is now Smiles the Molar Bear.
Smile the Molar Bear.
Yeah.
Well, that's apropos.
Play on polar bear. We had lots and lots of great suggestions. It was really tricky. There were a lot of people who were giving out really good, like, solid bear names, like Russell and Rupert and things like this. And I was like, I like those. And then there were people who were playing off the dental stuff, like Smiles and Flossie and stuff like that. And it was actually a challenge. Like, I was really pleased that we had so many people giving their input. It was fun.
Speaking of children in your practice, you see a lot of children. Do you ever have to sedate any child because they're so afraid of what you have to do?
Sedation is used sometimes for fear, for children who have fear of what's going on. I use it more often when there's a large amount of treatment that's required, because usually we do things, we call it quadrant dentistry. So each corner of your mouth, you know, the top and the bottom are divided in two, so you have four corners. We tend to do work in dentistry in those four corners because it maximizes our output and minimizes the number of appointments that a person would need. So, you know, if we have two fillings to do in one corner, we're going to do those fillings together, kind of thing. So when you have a child, though, and you're trying to do dentistry in all four corners of their mouth, and maybe it's the first time they're getting a filling, or maybe they have to have a tooth pulled, and again, it's the first time, maybe they have this large volume of work, it's hard for them to sit still for a long period of time, right? I will sometimes offer sedation in those aspects just to help control some behavior and make sure that it's a positive experience.
We're talking child. What age group roughly are we talking here?
I sedate people anywhere from ages 4 to, you know, probably above 80. It depends on their needs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's different types of sedation, different levels of sedation, different types of medications or other things that I can do. So there's just a huge variety of it. And sometimes, honestly, it's a little bit of trial and error. Sometimes we'll try something and it won't quite do the trick for whatever your problem is. If it's because you're scared or, you know, something is uncomfortable and maybe laughing gas doesn't do the trick for you. Okay, we tried it. Now we know that doesn't work. Now we're going to have to try something different. So I have so many different tools at my disposal.
Adrenaline rushes aren't a good thing, are they?
Not at the dentist.
There was a situation you were telling me earlier that happened in Edmonton. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it was something that was kind of going the rounds on the internet. And, of course, you know, the dental community is actually fairly small. So when something like this goes down, we hear about it pretty quickly.
What happened?
From what I understand, and again, I don't have firsthand knowledge of this, so I apologize if I'm getting some of the facts mixed up. But there was a practitioner in or around Edmonton who was going to treat a four-year-old girl. And it sounds as though he was practicing general anesthesia. At least that's the word that I got from that particular article. And there was a complication, and now the child is unfortunately a much more worse for wear.
Wow.
And, of course, this is big news because that's a big deal. You know, we don't go into
doing... Well, the fear factor will set in.
Well, for parents especially, right? You don't bring your kid to the dentist or the doctor, get told that they're getting a routine procedure, and then they end up coming out with brain damage or with some other sort of complication. You know, that is never the intention going in, but these cases happen, and it's important to address them and hopefully learn from them, too.
What did you learn from reading that article?
Well, it made me think, again, about my own approach to these sorts of things. One of the number one things that I thought of when I first reading it was, thank goodness I don't do general or anesthesia or deep sedation in my practice. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I felt very good about that, but I know that this is going to be a question that I'm going to hear from parents and from other people when we start talking about sedation. So this is actually a good opportunity for me to sort of address that now to sort of a wider audience so that if people have further questions or if they have current questions, maybe they'll get answered today.
What sort of questions do you think may pop up from this?
I think people are going to ask, is this safe, right? That's the number one thing.
Yeah.
Is this safe? And the question is, I believe it is safe, yes, otherwise I wouldn't do it, obviously. But you have to take into consideration what it is that you're trying to accomplish. These sedatives are medications, they're drugs, and we don't always know what sort of reaction people are going to have to a drug, right? Your doctor can give you an antibiotic because you have a throat infection. Unless you've had that before or something like it, you may have an allergy that's undiagnosed and there can be a complication. So in all of these sorts of situations, you have to be aware that the risk for complication is always there, but then making sure that your dentist or your doctor has steps in place so that if something does go wrong, they can handle it in the proper way.
So before you would do any sedation at all, there's an awful lot of questions you would be asking the parent.
Yep.
Allergies you've already brought up, that's huge.
That's the biggest one, allergies. That's the number one complication with any kind of medication, right? I like to ask parents, or people, anybody who's being sedated, like, have you been sedated before? Have you had a positive or negative experience with anything like this? You know, some people have been in the hospital and they've been put under or they've been given a sedative for a procedure, so they have a basic idea of how they might feel or what kind of reaction they might have. And that helps me set the ground for that as well. So knowing your history is the first step.
So you as a dentist, would you go so far to consult with their family doctor?
Yeah. If there's a medical concern or a possible allergy.
A question mark in your mind, I guess, too.
If there's any question mark in my mind, if I can get a hold of a doctor, I will. And there's hasn't happened in the last year, but there's going to be a case sometime soon where I'm going to have to ask somebody to go and see a physician to get a medical clearance, which means to be checked out for possible issues that I need to know about beforehand. Like if, there's certain symptoms that I ask about or look for, and if a child is experiencing some of those or an individual is experiencing some of those, then I'm going to ask them to see a doctor first.
Just looking into a child's mouth, can you tell by doing that the child's health in general?
It gives you kind of a basic idea, for sure. I mean, the healthier the mouth, the more saliva they have. The gums especially give lots of different clues, whether they're red or swollen or if they're that nice pink, healthy color, these sorts of things. They do give lots of clues. There's lots of different things that we look for in the mouth that can even be linked to childhood cancers and other sorts of things that are kind of bigger.
Yeah, we did a whole show on that recently, and that was pretty amazing. I think we just touched the tip of the iceberg on that one.
Yeah, it's like they say that, what is it, like the eyes are the window to the soul or whatever it is? I'm thinking that the mouth might actually be the window to the soul.
Well, you're just being a little biased, I think.
Well, sure, fair enough.
Talking with Dr. Cindy Nagel, her regular visit to talk to the experts with Horizon Dental. We'll take a break. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment on Radio NL. Welcome back to Talk to the Experts. I'm Paul Graham. Dr. Cindy Nagel. I can't get used to using doctor anymore. You've been such a good friend to us.
You can call me Cindy. I'm okay with that.
You okay with that?
Of course.
Okay. Last segment, we really dwelled into child sedation, Cindy, and questions were coming to my mind during the break. Things like, what types of sedation would you use?
for the most part, with kids, there's only two types of sedation that I'll do in the office. The number one tool at my disposal is the laughing gas. So it's a little nasal hood, a little nose piece that just sits over top of their nose. And the only criteria is being able to breathe in and out nice and deep. This stuff is really...
Laughing is optional, right?
Yeah, exactly. Some kids do, and it's really funny. They'll look at the ceiling, and they'll sort of be dreaming a little bit, most of them, so they'll think that they might see something, or it's cute a lot of the time, actually. But it is the absolute safest thing out there that I know of, anyways, when it comes to sedating anybody.
Now, laughing gas as a sedation, basically, what does it do? Take their mind off what you're going to
yep.
do?
That's exactly what it does. It just helps them focus on something else. So we always have the TV going on the ceiling, and most of the time the kids just watch the TV, and they're just so engrossed in that because they're sedated that they don't really pay attention to what I'm doing, which is great.
Uh-huh.
If, however, they are uncomfortable, something hurts, heaven forbid, or they, you know, something's not quite right, then they can tell me about it too. So it's great. I have that communication open. I don't have to worry about that. They can still follow my commands. So if I need them to bite or open wider or whatever, then I can do that and keep the sedation at a level that I need it to be without going too deep. Once it's over, they just breathe in oxygen afterwards, just 100% oxygen, and their lungs slowly clear the nitrous oxide out, and then they're
How
not
long
sedated
does that
anymore.
Take?
About 5 minutes.
Oh, so it's pretty quick then.
It's super quick. Super quick. Some kids will still feel a little bit woozy afterward. The odd kid will start to cry.
It's all over.
More or less. Usually it's because they go from feeling so good and so relaxed and happy and calm to all of a sudden, okay, now I got to walk out of here. Maybe they're numb. And some of them will panic a little bit and kind of get a little bit upset that now they don't feel so good. And the temper tantrum tends to last until they get home, and then they're usually pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really enjoy using the laughing gas. It's not quite enough for everybody, especially the younger kids. They can't follow my instructions as easily, so they can't breathe in and out
right.
deeply enough for it to really work. A lot of kids struggle to breathe through their noses, so it's much less effective for those younger kids. And then again, at the same time, it doesn't really create as much of a sedation for large treatment plans. So if I'm going to do 8 fillings in one shot, I'm going to need to sedate a little bit more to, you know, make sure that I get that done.
Is this where the drugs come in?
That's when I might supplement with some of the medications. They're all sedative medications, same stuff that they might use in the hospital for these sorts of procedures. The ones for kids, I mean, some of them are available IV. So for adults, I'll sometimes do an IV drip with it. But for kids, I'd put it in a juice. And all they have to do is drink the juice. It tastes pretty bitter. Some kids don't care, and some kids spit it out. So, again, being able to follow instructions is really the biggest thing that kind of gets in my way. If they're not willing to drink the juice, if they're not willing to breathe in through their nose, if they're not willing to help me with it, then or not able to help me with it, I mean, there's that give and take, too, then we have to, brainstorm and try and find something else. But these sorts of sedations are the only ones that I feel comfortable that I can safely
You wouldn't
do.
Use ether or anything like that, eh?
Nope, not anymore. They used to use that and chloral hydrate and other medications like that a long time ago. They've just fallen out of vogue, I guess.
Yeah. But when you have a child in your chair that's uncooperative, not by their own choice, but by the fear and all that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
do you like to have the parent in there with you as well?
Depends on the parent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, depends on the parent. Some parents are really great. They know that I'm there to help. And if they're not fearful themselves, then most of the time they just exude a lot of confidence. And when kids feel that confidence, then they feel safe and they feel more confident and comfortable. When you have a parent that's anxious about it, and it might be because they're afraid of the dentist or because they're just anxious on behalf of their child. I mean, I can imagine that it's very stressful to hand your child to somebody and be like, okay, well, you're going to drug my child, you're going to do this, you're going to do fillings, like this is going to be a big deal. That's probably very scary for a lot of parents, and I feel that for them. So these sorts of parents are ones that, you know, we have a lot of discussions about between us beforehand to try and make sure that they're comfortable with what we're going to be doing. But in those cases, I prefer not to have those parents with me while I'm working because I need to focus 100% on their child.
Right.
I do not want to be talking to a parent while I'm trying to make sure that their child is safe. I don't want to be stressing myself out because I can see them, you know, fidgeting in the corner or getting upset or talking over me sometimes, things like this, because then that focus is away from the child. And I'm there for the child at that point. I'm not there for the parents. So sometimes I have to be a little bit of a little bit more of a hard case. and it usually helps. But sometimes you need the parents there for other reasons, too.
Yeah.
So it's a case-by-case basis.
You mentioned two types, the laughing gas and the god-awful tasting liquid they might have to drink. The Evanston case, going back to that, as we talked about in the last segment, what did they use for the problem?
The article that I saw said that they were doing general anesthesia. That might not necessarily be the case. It's possible it was a deep sedation. But like I said, there's a spectrum of sedation. So you have really light sedation like the nitrous, right, where it just sort of puts you into a sort of a dream state, but you're 100% awake and able to respond, and I can pull you out of that sedation very quickly and easily. The more drugs or the higher dosages you add on or the heavier you get into these things, the more sedated you'll get. And general anesthesia is the max, where you have to be intubated because your body is so sedated that you can't breathe by yourself.
Wow.
And that's the sort of thing they do in the hospital when they're doing, say, a hip replacement, or they're taking your tonsils out or something like that,
yeah,
where they need you to be 100% out of it so that they can get in and get out. So there's this spectrum, and you have, like, in office where I am, I feel very strongly that the only way I can do this safely is by keeping the sedation quite light, where a child or an individual is able to talk back to me, is able to do that. And there's lots of laws of regulating this sort of thing, too, and they do frown highly upon us doing any sort of deep sedation without a hospital for good reason, because bad things can happen. If you know, like I said, you don't always know how somebody's going to react. So whenever I do these things, I start off with a low dosage. I give it some time. I see how we're doing. Sometimes I'll add on a bit more, try something a little different. Every case is different, and you have to be okay with giving it the time it needs to get the correct effect. If you go right in there with a max dosage, that person might not be able to tolerate that, and then you're heading into danger territory.
Wow.
So that case in Edmonton, I don't have all the details yet, so I'm sure I will in the future, but I don't do sedations like that without there being a nurse, without there being an anesthesiologist, without there being these other sorts of things in place. And we're very careful, too, about, again, the types of patients that we'll do these things with and any of the sort of pre-op stuff. For example, I think one of the complications they had with this little girl was that she had eaten prior to the procedure. And anybody who's been to the hospital and has had surgery knows you don't eat before that.
Yeah.
You don't eat because you need to be on an empty stomach. A lot of these medications can induce nausea or vomiting. And if you're not as in control of your reflexes, especially your breathing, if you vomit and you breathe into any of that fluid or acid or food into your lungs, that's bad.
Yeah.
Getting that out of there is hard.
I'm thinking, like, if dental work that you do or any dentist does, if it's that complicated or that detailed, that it requires a heavy sedation, I would suggest it be done in the hospital. Is that a good statement?
Absolutely. That's why I've been working on trying to get into the hospital and the surgical center here in Kamloops, because that way I would be able to do that. I can take your 3-year-old who needs, 10 fillings and a tooth pulled, and I can take them to the hospital and let the anesthesiologists and the nurses handle the sedation portion. I can do the dentistry. We're going to be in and out in 30 minutes, and everything's going to be much more effective just by setting the stage for that.
With what you do with sedation, is it safe?
Yes.
Let's
what
get
I
to
do,
the bottom line.
Yeah. What I do, I believe, I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe it was safe, honestly. I don't like putting people at risk. I don't like putting myself at risk, and I want to be able to sleep at night. So I'm not going to do anything that's going to, you know, hurt a child.
Yeah.
Or anybody else. I have done a lot of training to this effect. And I was a hospital dentist in Calgary before I came into private practice, so we used to do a lot of sedations in the hospital. So I have that background. I worked with nurses. I did 2 months working in the ER, sewing people together, just to get those experiences and doing these sorts of things. So I have, you know, my advanced cardiac life support. I have my pediatric advanced life support stuff, so I know what to do in these situations. We also invested really heavily in an emergency room grade crash cart. So I've got drugs, I've got equipment, I have bag valve masks, I have oxygen, I have all these things so that heaven forbid one day something goes wrong. If your kid has an unexpected allergy, I'm going to be in my crash cart 5 seconds and we are going to get that stuff in there. We're going to support their breathing. We're going to have that monitoring equipment and by the time the paramedics get there, we're going to have done anything that would have been done in an ER. Except possibly doing an IV, which I do not know how to do on children. I'll put that out there right now. Their veins are tiny.
Okay, well, you don't get yourself into those situations, but you are prepared in case something does happen.
Always. I need to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah. And she's being very sincere, folks. She being Dr. Cindy Nagel of Horizon Dental. One more segment to go. There's lots more to talk about. Halloween's right around the corner. This should be a dandy. That's coming up on Talk to the Experts on Radio NL. Welcome back to Talk to the Experts, Cindy Nagel. Dr. Cindy Nagel.
Yes.
Let's get a little formal for 5 seconds, okay?
Sure. Okay. Sounds good.
Horizon Dental Clinic, they just celebrated their first year of practice out there in Brock, and what you do is not work. You're just having a good old time out there, aren't you?
Let's go with that. I don't want anybody to see me sweat.
Cindy, we've had a great conversation dealing with child sedations, and we've really covered that well. And, we were thinking school's back now, and you know what happens when school's back. Guess what comes home?
Yeah.
The colds.
Cold and flu season is upon us.
You get children coming into you that require whatever they need, and they've got a cold. Would you work on them?
No.
Well, that's
flat out there, that's an easy question to answer. No. Even for most adults, if you're in the middle of a cold, it's okay to cancel. Like, it's going to suck for us. But number one, we don't want your germs any more than you do. No offense. But also, it makes it harder for us to work. Especially, for example, again, back to the sedation. If I'm going to sedate somebody, let's say we're going to use laughing gas. If your child has a cold and they can't breathe through their nose, then this has been a whole waste anyways. Because
yeah.
It's not going to work. And if somebody's sick, they're typically not feeling at their best. When I'm sick, I'm a big baby. I'm super miserable. I don't want to do anything. And then you got to go sit in the dental chair, have your teeth cleaned, or have a filling done. Like, no, it's okay. Just try and give us as much notice as you can. Get better. And one of the perks, I guess, about being relatively new, still, just entering our second year of practice, if you miss your appointment, it's not going to be 6 months before you can get back in with us. It's going to be maybe 2-3 weeks. So it's not so bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's enough time for you to get better, feel better, and then you're going to feel better about things, and so are we.
That's interesting that you can't breathe through the nose and things like laughing gas. It's just a waste of time.
Yep, exactly. And I say that to parents beforehand. It's just like, and by the way, if your child contracts a cold or cannot breathe through their nose on this day, call us. We will cancel. Because I've had this happen lots of times where kids have shown up and they're sniffly. And it's like, I'm really sorry, but there's now nothing I can do for you.
Oh, and the kids go on, yay.
Yeah, now the kid's like, perfect, I can get out of here.
Yeah.
And sometimes, they're feeling good. Like they're up and about and they're doing all this stuff because kids, sometimes it doesn't hit them as hard as, the older we get, right, Paul?
Thank you.
Uh-huh, yeah. But still, if they cannot breathe through their nose and we're planning a sedation, I'm going to turn you away.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know that, for parents to know that, because at this time of year with school, cold and flus do come home.
They do, absolutely. And, we... As an office, as a group, we do get hit lots with colds because, we work in the mouth. Sure,
yeah.
We sterilize the bejeepers and wipe everything down all the time, but aerosols are, if you sneeze, it's going somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll lose, an employee every week or two to the flu or a cold, and then we just keep on going.
Yeah. Last Halloween, I don't think we ever talked about the treats, but Halloween's right around the corner now.
Yeah.
And sugar has to be the worst enemy of yours.
That and acid, pop. Actually, yeah, Coca-Cola is the worst. Coca-Cola
really?
Is the devil, yes.
I guess you shouldn't be
Coca-Cola.
Drinking something you can clean your toilet with, right?
Agreed. Yeah, if it can take that copper residue off of a penny, this is not for you.
This is not a good thing.
No, probably not. But yeah, Halloween is Halloween, right? It's kind of a binge activity. We accumulate all that candy. A lot of kids are going to eat a fair amount of it in a short period of time, or they're going to be like me when I was a kid and stuff it under their bed and forget about it until next Halloween.
Did you really do that?
Yeah. And then there was one year the dog ate it, and that was really bad, so we didn't do it after that. But, yeah. So, I mean, the same rules apply to everything. You know, try not to snack over long periods of time. So if you're going to have your candy, try and have it, like, put it in the kids' lunch to go to school. And they can have, like, a couple of pieces of candy or a couple of chocolate bars or whatever. Have it with a meal so that it's not something that they're having throughout the day or in the middle of the day. Make sure that if they're having any after dinner or in the evening, that they brush their teeth and don't have any after they brush their teeth before bed. Same rules apply to anything that we do.
One of my favorite Halloween treats when I was a kid was the candied apple. I mean, we're talking serious
yummy
sugar here.
All that caramel, yeah.
Yeah, it tastes great, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and plus the apple underneath it makes it seem like it might be okay.
Yeah, you get a sugar rush pretty quick.
Yes, exactly.
But, yeah, you're right. The kids tend to get home and start woofing down the goodies, and
exactly.
The sugar rush goes on. How long does that sugar stay in the mouth?
It takes, on average, 20 minutes for the saliva to finish buffering everything. So, again, that comes back to the snacking. So if you're having your candy, within 20 to 30 minutes, your mouth should be about the same as where it was. But if you snack and then 10 minutes later you have another piece of candy and 5 minutes later you have another piece of candy and 20 minutes later you have another piece of candy and you're doing this over and over again, your body doesn't have time to process that, and that's when the sugar and the acid levels in your mouth can get too high.
Yeah, because a lot of these candies are very small, and that's not going to fill the child up by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll want to mix it up a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
A big sugar concoction.
Yeah, yeah. Just like a, what is that? What is it called when you go to the restaurant and they have all the different kinds of pop there, and you like mix root beer with Coke, with Sprite, with Mountain Dew? We used to call it something.
Call it swamp water.
Yes, swamp water. That's it. That's what it makes me think of.
But I didn't know the soda pops, and you mentioned Coke. It's a trade name.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Coke, but soda pops were pretty bad.
Sugar plus acid is bad. I think Mountain Dew is actually the number one worst one out there. It's just the ratio of sugar to acid is really bad. Sprite, not very good. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, any of those things are bad.
Then you get these diet Cold
yes,
well.
But there's still the acid level. So you might not have your regular good old fructose or glucose in your diet Coke or Pepsi, but there's a lot of acid. And that is still going to weaken your enamel, and that is still going to put you at higher risk for getting cavities, for wearing your teeth out.
Weakening the enamel, you can't rebuild that, can you?
Enamel, in some cases you sort of can. There's this remineralization, demineralization process that happens with the acid. So if you, you know, bathe your teeth in acid, then, you know, hopefully not, you know, big acid, like, say, Coca-Cola acid, your enamel is going to become thinner, more porous, all this stuff. It can remineralize and it can reharden, but during that time when it's softened, things can be done to the teeth that cannot be repaired, like wearing them down. So if you grind your teeth, if you clench your teeth, if you're eating really abrasive foods, or you brush your teeth right away and you've got a highly abrasive toothbrush and toothpaste and you're going at it like crazy, you will strip the enamel away. And when the enamel is weakened like that, any acid or, you know, products that the bacteria produce are more likely to cause cavities in that time period because the enamel is weakened in that way. So it can reharden to a certain degree, but there's still this window of opportunity for irreparable damage to be done.
Is there such a thing as an age where cavities don't happen?
No, I wish.
Really?
They just happen.
Why is it more prevalent in kids then?
I don't even know if it is necessarily as prevalent in kids. I think one of the biggest challenges with kids is the fact that baby teeth aren't meant to last forever. So the enamel is automatically thinner. The teeth are automatically weaker. And again, where there's clenching activities, the kind of diets that we have these days, it all of these sorts of things contribute and they kind of compound on each other. But then you have the seniors who have the medications that make their mouth dry, whose gums have receded and those soft roots are showing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we've got no saliva to buffer the acid or get rid of the sugar, and their soft root surfaces are showing above the gums, and now we have a breeding ground for root caries, which are worse to treat and repair than cavities in children.
Cavities and baby teeth, I would have thought you'd just leave them alone because they're coming out anyway.
Well, not if you're 5 and that baby tooth is supposed to be there until you're 10 or 12. That's 5 years that baby tooth, the cavity is going to grow and it's going to become infected at some point. And then you're putting your child through pain, antibiotics, a dental visit to pull the tooth, things like this.
Oh, I would have thought it's going anyway. I'm not going to bother with it.
A lot of people feel that way. And there are certain times where I'll say that, too. If I have a 10-year-old and that tooth looks like it's going to give out in 6 months or less, no big deal. Leave it alone. It depends on at what stage the tooth looks like it's at. If it's a small cavity and I don't think that it's going to get big enough to cause any pain and it's not going to break in half, then, yeah, let it fall out. No big deal. It just depends on the age of the child.
Wow. Did you get your website up and running yet, the new one?
Not yet. I'm still working on it.
How do people get a hold of you?
They can give us a call directly at 778-765-3928. Our website is still, our old website is still up at www.horizondental.clinic. You can email us through there or stop by. We are 1760 Mayfair Street, just past the Brock Shopping Center.
The other side of the street, though.
Yes, on the left.
And you got a Facebook page. It's really garnering some likes and stuff.
Well, we're having lots of fun. We're running lots of contests. So if you like to win free money and gifts, then you should definitely follow us because we're doing that pretty regularly. I think the next big thing we're doing is for Halloween. We are participating in Treat Street on the North Shore. So the Business Improvement Association has got a bunch of us signed up to be on a safe trick-or-treating route. There's several businesses involved in that. The Valley First Credit Union, the bank beside us, they're doing it. There's, I think, Heather's Fabric Shelf and the Brock Shop is doing it. So lots of people in the North Shore. We're going to be dressed up. It's going to be great.
And, what are you dressing up as?
We're doing Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So I've got to see if I can run that rheostat in heels. I think I can do it. It's been a while. It'll be fun. And, yeah, we're giving out candy. And if there's a child with an allergy or would prefer, our toy box is open to the public for this window of time. I believe it's going to be on Halloween, which is a Monday, from 3 to 5.
Okay. Listen, it's been a slice and nice to see you again.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
One thing we haven't talked about is our wisdom teeth and that kind of thing.
Maybe
we should talk about that next time.
Yeah, let's see if we can bring that up. I've always got lots of thoughts.
Okay. Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental for her monthly visit to talk to the experts. That's it for the show. You have yourself a great day.